As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshaies, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
Never better get checked. Ain't no difference when the king goes sick.
In this day and time, stereotypes are the false descriptions for all of humanity. James T. Deshaies is the author of two great poetry books that attempt to describe life from a male perspective. It has been a common belief that men are unable to put into words their deepest feelings and spend most of their time focused on the surface of what life means. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, and Passion, Desire, and Contemplation take you on a journey that has very few travelers. Mr. Deshaies has opened his heart and spirit up in ways that few have ever experienced. The depth of his poetry will have you reading his books and poems over and over again. You will find yourself using his passages to describe your own feelings to your family and friends. It is now time to put aside your thoughts and feelings related to the depth of men's thoughts and delve deeply into the words of James T. Deshaies. Once again, he will put an end to your thoughts that men can't translate their heartfelt spirit into words. Both of these books will allow you to find comfort in the reality of the heart of men. You will spend hours trying to embrace the way men want to love and display their passion to the women they love. Don't be fooled by those books that create love through words of lust, vulgarity, and unhealthy displays of sexual activities. You will discover the types of words that will allow you to rejoice in the future of what love truly means to men. Your book clubs and families will be able to discuss these words without fear. No one will have to leave the room. Both of these books can be purchased at jamestdeshaies2.com and lulu.com. Feel free to reach out to the author at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com.
In America, you can put your faith with your will to work and create magic. The Wealth Dad system is a great opportunity to use your faith and your will to dream to build a new source of cash flow. Are you ready to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow? If you are, go to WealthDadSystems.com. For more information, call 407-459-4827. This system will change your life.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. As always, you know, I'm happy to be here and have the opportunity to talk to those of you who are within the sound of my voice. I look forward to talking about the kind of topics.
This song means a lot to me because there was a time in my life when I couldn't love myself enough to love anyone else. But now I'm in love. And for Mary J. Blige, that's rare. Relationships are really, really hard to keep together. But let me explain to y'all what happened to me. Chemistry was crazy from the get-go. Neither one of us knew why. People swore it off as a fate that we can't see that. Now from top to bottom, they see that we did that. It's so true that we've been through it. But we got real. Baby, we've been too strong for too long.
And I can't be without you, baby.
And I'll be waiting up until you get home.
Cause I can't be without you.
Baby.
James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. Cheryl, I'm just confused sometimes when I look at the justice system and I'm combing through stories to find out what to talk to my audience about. But it seems sometimes that we give so much concern and pity to people who do some horrific things. And I just wanted to ask today of all of you who call in, why should a person get the benefit of God's grace when he saves the life of a victim? And if you were able to see the video, this man snatched a child from her home that he was invited into to give him shelter. And then he victimized his family by raping their child and choking their child nearly to death. And then threw nearly over 100 pounds of concrete over on top of her. And in the story, it said she was maybe 20 minutes from dying. So why should he get the benefit of not killing her and getting life imprisonment without parole?
Good evening to everyone, and it does sound better now. You know, I don't know why, and I really believe, you know, with him doing the crime, that he should truly face the consequences. I mean, and I don't think that no one should get off easily for a crime like that. Now, when you say God's grace, you know, although is merciful, we have to look at the fact that that's what the law is put in place for. And not only that, that is one of the things that he is not pleased with, you know, murder. But when I say that, you know, it does not mean that the wrath of God is not on an individual, because he allows us, you know, like we tell our children, I'm going to let you, you know, you're going to hang yourself if you just keep doing what you're doing and what you're doing. And we look at God just in the same way that our natural father chastises us, you know, and we always hear and we saying those that are led by God, we're not talking about just any old father, that a lot of times the parent will say, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And that means that there is a type of punishment put in place for our actions. So when we say gracious in a way that it could be life in prison, it could be where he has to feel the agony, you know, of something that he did. It may not be an instant death that he get the death, you know, the death penalty for it, meaning the electric chair or whatever they do, you know, today. But I do believe that there should be some punishment for the crimes that are committed, you know, today. And we know that it don't happen at that particular time always, but we have seen that it do come back to them in at some point in their life. They never can get away with it. You know, when they say you can't get away with murder, well, you really can't. Because you're going to pay for it for the rest of your life, whether you're behind bars or not. And we just have a messed up system, too.
Yeah, and I believe you're right. I believe there's no real way to get away from the evil that one does, that you may not get your punishment here on earth, but your punishment is to come. If you don't somehow give amends for what it is that you do. But our system just seems to be skewed in a way that sometimes we give the perpetrator a more lenient way. Dee, what is your thought about somebody coming so close to killing somebody and then being given the benefit of God's grace by not letting him to go forward, and now all of a sudden this person is somehow given a break because what he did didn't really cause the death of another?
Well, happy Friday, everybody. And James, I thought I was going to pass on that question, but you know, I'd like to think that I am intuitive enough to talk about almost anything. So I'm going to attempt to give you my outlook on the question that you just gave. You know, in one respect, it has to be the inexperience of the prosecutor's office to not come up with the right charge in the first place, to where there is a loophole where the more experienced, be the case, defense attorney can recognize and use that loophole to wiggle out a situation where the perpetrator is to be given some leniency. You know, we talked about how families and prosecutors' office or the district attorney goes straight for the murder charge when, or attempted murder, when in this case, enough to hold a person at bay until they can come up with a stronger charge should be just kidnapping or abduction. Now, besides that, you know, when we get into the realm of talking about God's grace being bestowed upon a person that creates a heinous crime, I'm kind of in a neutral zone in that respect, because I have to come to realize that there are evil entities also in this world. And, you know, when it comes down to the fact that God knows all, and when it comes down to the fact that he knows us better before we even knew ourselves, and when it comes down to the fact that he knows all the hairs on our head and he know our outcome even before we do, that tells me that God knew that this was going to happen to this little girl. If that's the case, then what about the damage that's been done to her? The fact that she'll never be able to live a normal life. Now, if there's a lesson to be learned for the perpetrator, then what about the little girl? So, in that respect, I don't have any confidence that there is any grace being bestowed upon him. The only confidence that I have is that he is part of the negative entity that it is a part of this world. And that's a spiritual battle that we are in. But I don't think there's any grace to be bestowed upon him. I don't think that there's any favor that's going to be bestowed upon him because of the fact that this little girl has been damaged probably forever. It's going to take a real miracle to get her back to some kind of normalcy. And I'd like to know y'all thoughts about that. Thank you.
And I think you're right. I mean, this young lady is, you know, it's difficult enough not to be victimized to such a degree as someone raping you or taking your life or trying to take your life. You know, if you live without that happening to you, it's still hard to trust somebody. And to have someone victimize you in such a heinous way at the age of 8, I'm not sure how you get to the point you trust anybody. Here it is that this man was brought into this home, and he wasn't a man at the time. He was 17 years old. Someone thought enough of him to give him shelter. And then he wanted to victimize the most valuable thing in this person's home, which was her daughter. And to the extent where he raped her and strangled her nearly to death and left her in a dumpster overnight, but yet our justice system suggested that he shouldn't get life without parole because he was 17 and under the age. I truly believe that there are individuals who are 17 and even, I don't want to go below 15, but if you're 15 and older, you have to know what it is to kill somebody. Now, I'm not necessarily saying you should get the book thrown at you from stealing a car or stealing material things, but when you take a gun or you do something that is going to nearly take somebody's life, that is an adult crime, and I don't have any difficulty whatsoever giving you an adult penalty. Cheryl?
I just want to address something that Dee said, that, you know, about God knows everything, and seeing that. And as difficult is a very, not even harsh enough word, you know, life this girl leads, that she was not saved by no reason at all. And to me, you know, listening to her story, that she was kept alive to be able to help others. And I feel like, you know, we all are servants. And he saw fit, you know, for although she went through something, you know, horrific, he saw fit to use her. And she has a nonprofit, and she talked about how, you know, women, whoever, you know, call her, and she can relate and she can help them. And I think back over my life, just things that I went through, I would not have wished on anybody. And you know how we always say the things that we go through make us who we are today. And it's not by accident that she was found when she was found, you know, and I look at it as a miracle, and I look at it as his handiwork being done. Now, when it comes to, you know, again, the crime itself between our system, I mean, and we really got a messed up system, and, you know, what this man really deserves. And I guess they looked at a lot of factors, which I saw as well, too. You know, not that the fact that that he didn't know right from wrong, because he clearly did. But you can also tell that actually wrong with him. And usually if you can go back in his life, you're going to probably find out that he may have had abuse his own self, which is no excuse at all. And I understand what you're saying, James, because, you know, you wonder who actually is the victim, because they take their eyes off of this young person, and now they're putting it on him as if he was the victim of something, which he clearly, you know, wasn't. And I think that at the age he was, he still knew right from wrong. Now, did he have any mental problems? He looked like he clearly did. But, you know, we know a three-year-old knows from right from wrong. So, you know, again, I think that, you know, that we are not prosecuting for the crime, for what's being done according to the crime, because we find that some people who do things to animals get harsher time or don't get off, where we get murder, people who commit murders, they get off. So
it's just like you can look at, again, when we've seen over the years where people have gotten shot multiple times and just not hit in the right place. And again, our Creator saw fit for them to survive. But should the person who attempted to murder them get any break? 9295. We're talking about how our system seems to somehow give leniency to people who try to murder somebody, and just because God gives their grace and saves them, should we give any break to that perpetrator? Go ahead.
Hello?
I hear you. Go ahead. You got your mic on?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You seem to be going in and out. We'll take a quick break and come back and continue our conversation.
Okay. All right. Okay.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, and we're talking about our justice system and somehow how people who have no sense of mercy for others who try to take the life of another, who somehow is being getting the benefit of our justice system by giving attempted murder when they've done all they could to murder their, try to murder their victim. 9295, we're going to come back to you and hope everything's cleared up. What are your thoughts about how our justice system sometimes gives grace to those who seem to want to inflict the greatest harm to the general public?
I say it's unfair, you know, that they would, you know, that does a horrible crime like that. And I think that the little girl suffered. But I don't know, by the grace of God, you know, we are all, you know, by the grace of God, we're saved. So I'm glad I'm not the one that has to judge, you know, the final, have the final say. But, yeah, our justice system does suck in a way, you know, but I don't know if he made his peace with God. I wouldn't want to be judged, that's all. I wouldn't want to be the judge, you know, in that situation.
And I understand that, you know, I have my same thoughts about the death penalty. I'm not one that believes that we ought to be giving the death penalty to people, especially when human beings get it wrong so often. But when you know you got the right person, and this person did all they could to end the life of another person, because that's, you know, we all go through life for the most part, the majority of us, and never do anything to harm an individual on purpose. But when somebody purposely try to end the life of another person, that is a serious infraction. That's not a speeding ticket. That's serious business.
Yes, it's unimaginable. I agree with you on that. I can't even imagine anybody getting that upset with anyone that they would want to do anything to them, as such as that, or hurting them, or whatever. So, but I'm just glad that I'm not the judge, because if it was left up to me, I probably would, just physically want to see him, you know.
And what mother a person who, family member who wouldn't? I mean, when you take a child from their bed in the middle of the night and then violate them physically and then strangle them and then throw huge concrete blocks on them, it is obvious to me what your determination was and what you intended to do. And because our God saw fit not to that person leave, you should not get the benefit. Dee, what are your thoughts in regard to?
Well, my thought on that.
Okay. Go ahead.
If it was left up to me, sure, I would give him the death penalty, but I don't have that final say. If he made his peace with God, it's up to God finally that he should get out of jail because he did something horrendous. But I couldn't put myself in it to even be on. I mean, be a judge or a jury. You know what I mean? So I'm going to have the final.
All right. Dee, what is your thought on whether or not this person should have, you know, any opportunity to live amongst the free again?
Well, after listening to Ms. Cheryl, because I didn't watch the video in its entirety, I couldn't get a buffing. I couldn't get the load all the way through. So, but from listening to Ms. Cheryl, it sounds like in this particular case, we're dealing with a special circumstance, one of which is, I think she said that the man's about the age of 70. And the other is...
He was 17.
Oh, 17.
Yeah, he was 17. And the reason why they wouldn't give him life without parole was because he was 17. But he was only about 6 to 7 months from 18. And so this was a family that brought him into their home and gave him shelter, and then he victimized their little girl.
Okay.
She was only 8 at the time.
James, tell me, James, how much time did he get?
Well, he got five life sentences initially, and he wasn't going to have any chance of parole. But then the Supreme Court ordered that anybody under the age of 18 could not be given life without parole, so they gave him 50 years.
Well, God Almighty, I tell you, under the charge of attempted murder, and it's not murder, under the charge of attempted murder, that was the right charge. They could have tacked on false imprisonment and any other bodily harm charge that he could probably think of. Leniency, if he has to do 50 years, that's probably due to the fact that he was a minor. And then I see your point there. You know, I want to say that's somewhat fair, if I can use that term. And I use that term with spikes coming out of my tongue, because, I mean, there's no fairness to be had, him being the perpetrator. But, you know, so now we get back to the subject of God's grace. While he is incarcerated, we have to hope, and us being people of faith, and I think this is what separates us from the other people that claim they are people of faith. Us being people of faith, we want to give everybody a chance of redemption. Yes, as God has given me the chance of redemption, I was no better than anybody else. My sin is a sin is a sin. And so if he saw favor enough in my life to give me a chance of redemption, and we can only hope when this guy, and hopefully he does find forgiveness and redemption, that he will be able to come out and make a positive difference in somebody else's life. Now, you got to remember that his life is going to be tormented once he gets old enough to see the weight of his sin. He's going to have to deal with that for a long time. But if in fact, he is found to be favorable in God's eye, and we got to hope that and pray that he is. That's our job as believers. Then everybody have a chance to be redeemed. And so, like the lady before me just said, he is no different. And so that would be my take on that.
Cheryl, what do you see as his age, 17? At what, I said that I thought I could go as low as 15 when someone takes the life of somebody that, you know, but should their age make a major difference when it comes to doing something as horrific as taking the life of another?
Well, I don't, with him being 17 years old, just shy of an adult, here's again, our system has ages put in place for who can be prosecuted to what degree at what age. Now, when you say as far as him knowing what he was doing, I think he was very aware of knowing what he was doing, or knew that it was wrong. Let's put it like that. He knew what he was doing was wrong, because although he had some challenges, he still knew enough to cover it up. If he didn't think what he was doing was wrong, he would never have tried to cover it up. He would have just walked away from it. So, you know, when you're looking at it, that's why I try to look at it, you know, more than one time, just to see everything that I can possibly catch that I didn't catch the first time. And clearly, again, I say, you know, if we or our children was in that situation, we definitely would find ourselves praying for God's mercy and grace. So, here again, and I think I said it before, you know, if we want it, why would he not want it too? But
in everything he has to see God in everything that he do. And if he don't, like I said, you know, he's the judge, and Lord knows I don't want to serve on no jury like this. I really don't, because I, you know, I'm not a judgmental person, and for me to have this kind of case, or just about any case, because I just feel guilty, because I don't want to, you know, to convict anybody, because when you are actually put as a juror, you don't get all the evidence or everything that we as the public get. So we are only judging just on the base of the evidence that is allowed to the jurors. And once the decision has been made, a lot of the jurors find out there's a lot of things that was never in consideration when they made their decision. So that's the reason why I would never, you know, Lord knows I don't want to, because I'm talking to him now too. I don't want to. I really don't want to be on the jury, you know, for something, you know, like that. But I do think that we should have to pay, you know, for the crimes that we commit.
9295, let me ask you, should the parents have some responsibility? I know that they did what they did out of the goodness of their heart, but was it a smart thing to bring a 17-year-old into a home when you have a 8-year-old girl who is very vulnerable to a man that may not, or a young man who may not be with all of his faculties?
I think so. In a way, I do, because they should have known him, you know, before they brought him into the house. And her being the age that she is and him being his age, that would be difficult to bring somebody into your house around your 8-year-old daughter. So I do think they are responsible in a way.
That's a very vulnerable age. And 17, is even though he was close to 18, you realize that young men, sometimes they're young men who are unable to control their urges, and they don't need to be around people that they may sense are not their relatives, and somehow see something in them that's not, that they shouldn't be seeing. You know, we hope that brothers and sisters don't look at each other like that, but when you bring a young man into a home with young girls who are close to being teens, that may not be a good combination off of someone who's not a true family member.
Yes, that's true.
Dee, you know, you have a young people. Would you ever think about bringing anybody into your home that wasn't a true family member, and create a safety concern for your children?
Like to borrow a quote from the Wayans brothers, homie, don't play that. No, sir. No, sir. but look now, I heard Michelle say, and I've heard Brother Tillis say often, that we don't know the whole story. And I wanna borrow that for a minute, because let me say this. Under normal circumstances, people would be in their right mind well enough not to invite a person or a young person in your home like that, but under any circumstances, if you know the guy or even if you don't know the guy, let me throw this probability out there. It's probable that this 17-year-old had the dope package. And it's probable that the people that invited this person into their home wanted to do so because this dude had connection in that way, which is a bad recipe also. So you got to think that people just don't do that. If it's a total stranger, you just don't do that. If you know the person, and if the guy had a troubled home, because I heard Ms. Cheryl said that it looked like looked like something was wrong with him. So if he had a troubled home or if he had a troubled background, if they tried to help the young man, then they should have kept eyes on him. You don't go to work and you don't be in one room and not know where this person is. And you got, because, you know, I mean, the signs are there. So there are probabilities that was overlooked. And as a parent, in today's time, 2017, and you got a history of mass murderers forever, Ted Bundy, Charles Manson, on and on and on and on and on and on. And you got all kind of stupid drugs out here, like Flocka, and all these drugs that make you all out of your mind. You don't turn your eyes on folks. You got to keep your eyes on everybody. Thank you.
Cheryl, that's something you are a mother, and all of us have goodwill in our hearts and want to step out on faith and help people, but you've got to know that that's not a good combination to have a teenager in your home when you're trying to raise a little girl. And this little girl was tall and very attractive once we see her as a young teen, an older teen in the courtroom. So I'm sure that he couldn't keep his eyes off of her, as you know, especially with the fact that he had some issues already. So maybe they should have saw that was a bad combination and not bring any man into their home that was a teen on their little girl.
Yeah, I just kind of think that the parent was really not thinking, because had she had been thinking, she would have really, really thought about, you know, you just don't leave your daughter with no young man. I mean, we have enough problems going on right now with women bringing men into their homes with their children that's not the parents and molesting them. And right now, I'm dealing with counseling a girl who has a three-year-old that goes to her daddy, and her daddy has been molesting her. So, you know, we just have to be so careful on so many different levels. Now, if I pick that up, that he's had some problems, and don't know really what his background is, but I'm looking at him and his whole mannerism, you know, the things, just the way he was acting and, you know, just what they were talking about, I picked up on that. And I mean, we look at especially our girls as being so precious. And not saying that it couldn't happen to a boy either, because, you know, sometimes men or these young men or young boys, they don't care if they're boys or girls. But I think that in trying to help more trouble in her home, because if you knew any better, then you would have known not whatever it is that you do, you don't leave it your daughter available to this young person. I don't care how old, he could have been 10 years old, you still don't leave him your daughter available to him. And meaning that you never leave them in the house alone. Never. So I just think that, you know, in this case, I'm just going to say she just really was not thinking. Because, you know, had she been thinking and thought this thing through, that this could have clearly been avoided. Even if she let him, you know, in the house, you would want to take some precautions. And hopefully that there was a male in the house, because you don't bring in a young boy and there's not a man that's going to, because, you know, we as women, we have a hard enough time trying to teach our sons more or less somebody else's child, or trying to help somebody else's, you know, I mean, that's pretty much, you know, what I have to say on that one.
And I'm in agreement with you. I just think that's a terrible dynamic to have. If I had a son that was, let me just say when I, you know, if you have a son that's 17 and he has a friend that's has an environment that's dangerous, and that you want to help him, you know, that's two boys similar to the same age. I wouldn't even want to bring a 17-year-old necessarily in who wasn't a part of my immediate family in on my 10-year-old son. But if they were near the same age, but clearly not on a daughter who is might be victimized because of her own interest in boys and looking at him in a way she shouldn't be looking at him. So it is just not a good combination when you're raising your children to put them in environments that are unhealthy. 9295, your thought? I mean, we have to make sure we value our children, even though we might want to help others.
Yeah, that's true. We have to keep our children safe. You have to really be watching, and you also have to be praying, and you just can't bring anybody in. You got to know who you're bringing in.
And just like Cheryl was talking about, even adults, I mean, you have to be recognized that we don't know what's truly behind the minds of men. I know that it would be truly hard for me to leave if my wife and I or my girlfriend and I were separating and not together, and she was looking to date again. You just don't, at this day and time, you can't bring any and everybody in to the life of your children.
You sure can't. You don't know who you're bringing in sometimes. What looks good to you may not be good.
Yeah, and it is just terrible. All right, we're at another breaking point. We're going to take a break and come back and continue our conversation.
Okay.
Every time we hear the music and feel it's this love together, we got the time that lasts forever. We're in this love together, and like berries on the vine, it gets sweeter.
I am this woman. I am this woman that has sent the expectations of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman that does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but create my own destination. I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure. I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those yet to dream to greatness. I am the mother of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth, igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman. I am this woman that ascends the expectation of the world to take my rightful place among the stars. The woman who does not use the traditional roadmaps to a given place, but creates my own destination.
I am this woman that maintains her intrinsic beauty in ways not determined by others' thoughts, but by my own sense of uniqueness, my own desire of sexiness and allure.
I am this woman designed by my Creator to scale the height of the unbounded, allowing my talents to be seen by the masses while inspiring those to dream.
I am the woman of the world, deserving the respect of all that walk under the gravity of the earth,
igniting the love that exists in all men while being the birthplace of the future.
I am this woman.
Are you prepared to shake away your fear of being rich and successful? You must discover ways to accumulate wealth without adding more work to your day. The Wealth Dad system adds more value to your hours by creating an opportunity to multiply your efforts. Visit WealthDadSystem.com. If you want more information, call 407-459-4827. This is an opportunity to change your quality of life and increase your monthly cash flow. Dee, you know, in a lot of ways, we are told that we're supposed to be good stewards. And a lot of times people think good stewards mean just good stewards over your economic situation. But we need to be good stewards over our families as well. Our families is our greatest commodity. And we need to know how to make good decisions related to the lives of our spouse and the lives of our children and the lives of our total environment.
James, you make a tremendous point. And let me sound cheesy for a minute. I love your show. And the reason I love your show so is because we have real adult talk on your show. And so let me lay some adult knowledge on this situation, and it's in the way of a probability, and you know, and a lot of times we have to look at the probable and not necessarily the obvious all the time. Miss Cheryl said that she noticed by discernment that she noticed that this guy, the 17-year-old, had issues. Well, don't you know that people? Well, let me say, first of all, this person may have been a government check. And people will take persons into their homes to acquire what? A government check. At the risk of their own family. Now, in this case, and in a lot of other cases that people don't understand, that even people that have psychological issues still, especially at a young age, still have raving hormones. So apparently this was not evaluated clear enough or long enough, because if this the case, you know, the government will pay you well. will provide you a decent pay if you step to a situation where you're going to house and nurture and be a big brother or sister to a person in your home. And this could very well have been that case. So I just wanted to throw that out there. That's a strong probability.
Well, part of the video did shade where the defense felt like his mental abilities was less than a 10-year-old. And so clearly we didn't speak about, you know, parents somehow bringing them in the home for economical reasons and putting at risk their daughter's safety. Cheryl?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't even, you know, even if it wasn't spoken out, what guilt the mother must be feeling. And let's hope there is some guilt because just of the choices, you know, not saying that somebody had to point it out to her, but just knowing that I just made a wrong decision. You know, to acknowledge it, even if it's only to herself, and not hoping that, just thinking that, you know, not saying that he is not to blame for it, but she has to take some of the responsibility, not the responsibility for what happened, but meaning the responsibility for this young guy being in her home. So let's hope that she took some of that responsibility, even if she didn't want to acknowledge it out loud or to anybody. Let's hope that, and I don't want to say, I guess maybe the word I used may have been wrong. Maybe I could have used saying that just felt some responsibility, you know, not because of the decision that she made and realized that that was really a bad decision. And let's hope people have not been telling that all the time. And she ignored for whatever the reason could be. And I'm not going to say money. But for whatever the reason may be, you know, that that she can clearly see now. But, you know, I see the young lady and I see how she's moving forward. And I see also the fact that she's using this in such a positive way, you know, and I'm just glad that she's able to move forward, you know, with her life in spite of all those things that have happened, you know, to her. She seems to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, it is amazing that somehow we let possible dollar bills play a part in the decision making when we have something that's so much more valuable in our home. That girl will be really have to go through some counseling in order to get through that to the point where she can really trust men or be comfortable around men, not knowing what's in the back of their mind. And as mothers, it is important that we recognize the things that we've gone through that we don't want our girls to have to go through. I know I have a daughter who's was born when I was 16, and now she's in her 40s, and I still concern myself about the way she might be treated as a father, because I think and want her to have the love that I have for her, but in a different way coming from a spouse than a father. But if she would have been tragically hurt, that may not have been something that she could have experienced. 9295, what are your thoughts about us protecting the children for their futures? Because God has a role for them to play, and we don't want that role to be destroyed by their youth.
Yes, we do have a responsibility to protect them at all costs. And I think this parent will be, you know, be suffering the rest of her life for bringing the young man into her household for whatever reason. So we do have a responsibility to be watching what's going on in our children's lives.
And, Dee, you know, we as fathers, we have a desire that our girls live like queens, and that kind of experience would destroy that perception or that fantasy that we have that they experience under our watch.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I had trouble getting the mute off. You know, let me tell you, and I don't have to tell you, but I want to express that it is a honor and a privilege to get fatherhood, to have the chance. I want to specify that really strongly, to have the chance to get fatherhood right. A lot of people can't get it right. A lot of guys give up trying to get it right. And, you know, as black men, I would surely like to see the time and place where black men are willing to let go all the utter nonsense and hunker down, stick to one wife, and stay with your family and try your darnest just to get it right. Because when you challenge yourselves to get it right, there is no greater satisfaction. I mean, I'm having the time of my life just trying to get it right. And so in all of that, I take all the experience that I've gotten over the years, and I take the discernment that God has given me when it comes down to human nature and being able to read people, like Ms. Cheryl said. To me, that's a strong attribute, to be able to read people. You can see things coming a lot of times before they even open their mouths to say what they're about. And I trust that. I trust that as a gift from God. So using all of that, I'm in a good space. And you know, a lot of times when I'm not on your show, I'm practicing on being a good father and a good husband. And so that's my life, and I'm quite happy with it. Thank you.
You know, it like you say, there is no greater role to play, and it's a role that can't be put down or set aside or given over to a woman. As important as a woman is to the family, she cannot replace the man and the role that he plays. And the role that he needs to play so that his daughter is given guidance to look for who her spouse is going to be. And you just don't want anything to destroy that growth period. That growth period as a child that extends all the way up to almost 18 is a delicate time. And your child, you don't want them to be subject to somebody who doesn't know the importance and delicacy of that valued flower. And so, you know, we just have to remember, and I feel the same way. I look at a lot of the athletes, and I just hate it when the only name they say is, you know, hey, mom. And then I wonder, where is the father at? Why did he not instill enough in his child that his child felt a need to also say, you know, say something about their father? And Dwayne Wade is one of the few men that I know on a professional level that really talks about how valuable his father was to him and now how much he values fatherhood. And so, you're right. You know, as we go a little bit away from our initial story, our initial topic, it is so important for men, black men, to play a positive role in the lives of their children and create a safe environment for their children, even if that they do it from afar. There's a way to be a
a father, even if you don't live in the house with your children. Cheryl, what are your thoughts about that?
You know, it is so important. I mean, it is very important because, you know, with me raising my sons on my own, it hasn't been easy. And the fathers have not been an active participant in their lives. And it really angers me or hurt me because I leave them where they have access to them at all times. I always have shared things, you know, that the kids have done coming up. And, you know, the parents, they're missing out, but the children are missing so much because there's things that I can't teach my sons. I mean, I don't have the feelings that men do. I can teach them how to treat a woman, and I can teach them, you know, how to cook and how to clean and those kind of things. But there's certain things that I can teach them, and, you know, men are really missing out, and they don't know that their children is really missing out. You know, I use my son as a great example. I mean, his father was not in his life. When he first got with the young lady that he's with, the son, her son was a year and a half. He potty trained that child. He has raised that child. He's about 6 years old now. And nobody would have never known that that was not his real father. In fact, he didn't know until last year, the end of last year. And that's his daddy. He has a day where he spent time with him. You know, just them. And besides, you know, he take time with each one of his children individually and collectively. It is so important, because you're missing out on so much when you're not in your children's lives. And, you know, sometimes women play a major role in that as well, because they use the children as pawns, but not realizing they're really hurting the children. And when they do that, these children grow up to be, you know, they have anger issues. They have other kind of issues, a whole lot of different issues that we as society should not have to deal with or should not even have to accept, you know, from them. But they have no other way to deal with it, and that's the way they deal with it. They deal with it with drugs, alcohol, abuse. You know, all of these things, because they're hurting and don't know why they hurt and don't know how to express that they need their parent, their father in their lives. So it is a privilege, you know, and I say my hat's off to you guys, you know, for being the father of children's lives, you know, and also enjoying it as well, because I know me as a mother, I've enjoyed and still do enjoy being a mother, you know, to my children, and want to be very much involved in their lives.
Lorenzo, let me ask you, how is it important for you to be a strong father in your children's life? We were talking about today how a young girl was victimized by the decision made by her family by letting a 17-year-old come to live with them, and then he victimized their 8-year-old daughter. But why is it important for you to be able to make and help to create a good environment for your children so that they can grow and prosper?
Good evening, everyone. Yes, I think it's important. It was important for me because, you know, we always want our kids to do good and do this and do that, but I always, you know, and my kids always, if you don't teach them, somebody else is going to teach them. And, you know, I always say, you know, like I had a commercial, Be Like Mike. I always want my kids, I always say, if they could take something from me, take the positive from me and be better than me. But, you know, so I give them something to live for. Like, even like my kids now, they're grown and doing their own thing. You know, I chose to go back to school so they could see, you know, me pushing it in their face to go back and get a degree, that if I can do it, they can do it. So everything that I do, you know, it reflects back on them. So, you know, they don't have no choice but to make it. And if they don't make it, it's because they made a different choice in life. But I just believe that being positive in your kid's life means that you can take away a lot of negatives that can come their way. Like, they can be led a certain way and going a certain route that you didn't raise them up to go. And the Bible says, raise up a child in the way it should go, and they should never depart from it. So I raised my kid up in church. You know, I had custody of my son, so he was in church 3 times a week. You know, no matter what he's doing right now today, I do believe he's going to come back to the raising that I gave him. So, you know, I think being a positive role in his life, all of his life, including till now, was a positive thing, and I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world.
All right. I appreciate you calling in, Lorenzo. We're going to go to our last break, and then we're going to come back and give everybody an opportunity to have their final word. We just want to make sure that we talk about the kinds of things that will help people to make decisions. And in this case, we want people to recognize that you have to create a good environment for your kids to grow up in, and that you also have to recognize whether or not it's good to bring somebody in your home that might victimize your most precious commodity, which is your children. We're going to go away and come right back, and then we'll have let everybody have their final word for this evening.
Thank you.
Cheryl, what is your final thought for this evening?
My final thought is great topic. I enjoyed listening to the different views of each person and how they viewed these situations, because, you know, although we all see one thing, everybody brings something to the table, and I enjoyed what was brought to the table today.
All right. 9295, your final thought for this evening?
Yes, my final thoughts today is it was very, I love the discussion and the music. And I love I liked everything that was said. I'm new at this, so if I messed up, I'm sorry. But I really enjoyed it. And my final thoughts on it is congratulations to all the fathers that stepped up to be fathers, because there's not a lot of them today. And I just wanted to say again, I enjoyed it, and we'll tune in again.
All right. Lorenzo, your final thought for this evening.
My final thought is we all don't come with the answers, but we all have opinion, and we all got a chance to try. So being a father was a blessing, and our kids are blessings as well.
Okay. Dee, your final thought for this evening?
Yes, James. I want to thank everybody for being a part of the show, and thank James for having me be a part of the show. My final thoughts is going to be a little bit more severe. I'd like to encourage everybody to start paying more attention to what's going on around you. Start paying more attention to what's going on in the news, and therefore we should be able to start making some better choices and trying to do something that's going to be positive as an outcome. You know, for all our lives, we've been hearing that we are living in the last days. Well, today in 2017, more than ever, this is right now, it's a little bit more prevalent. We got a president playing the Dirty Dozen with another psycho across the waters, and they tweeting at each other back and forth, and they're insulting one another back and forth like little kids, and they both got a large armament of nuclear weapons. So I'd like to say, if we are blessed enough to get through this, we should be in a position where we can make better changes in life, so where we can come out better on the other side. Thank you.
All right, let me just inform all of those of you who may not know. We'll be on the air Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So we're on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And we're here so that your voice can be heard loud and clear. It's important that we have a voice in the society today, and we make sure that our voices are heard not just around the corner, but all over the world, because we need to make sure we have an impact on those who make decisions on our behalf. And so take care. I'll see everybody tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern Time so that we can make sure our voices are heard loud and clear.
Hello. I'm the music major. This is my man, Jayon Gray. I got a question to ask you. Talk to him, Jay.
Is there anybody in love?
Every man, every man.